I'm Rob Lefferts. I'm the Director of Program Management for Enterprise and Security in the Windows and Devices Group. It's essentially my job to make sure that all of you are successful. We heard a lot of great news this morning from Yusuf and from Scott about digital transformation and exciting announcements that we've had across the range. Right now, we're going to get hands-on with a ton of demos and real-world customer stories. But before I dive in, I'd appreciate a quick poll, show of hands, who in this room is part of the Windows Insiders program? Oh, that is awesome. That is great to see. First, thank you. We really enjoy giving you that opportunity to see a sneak peek into features that are coming, and we really cherish your feedback. Every opportunity we have to connect with you about how Windows is working for you and how it could be better is very important to us, so thank you for the time and for the feedback. Please keep participating. Digital transformation is changing businesses and how employees work. But it's not just about the end users in your organization. IT can also be the hero for digital transformation. But we understand that your resources are constrained, and at the same time, as you're figuring out cool new stuff to give your users, you have to make sure that the old stuff continues to run. The time is now to take action, and Windows 10 can help. Think about this. The purpose of an organization, any organization, is not just to be secure, but to be secure in achieving a mission and empowering employees to do great work in that purpose. Secure Productive Enterprise is Windows 10 Enterprise, Office 365, and Enterprise Mobility and Security. It has the most innovations in enterprise security, management, collaboration, and business analytics delivered through best-in-class cloud services. When we released Windows 10 in July of 2015, we knew that users were going to love it and find great value within it. But we were surprised and pleased with how quickly organizations of all sizes started to pilot it and started to see how it would work inside of their organizations. Since then, we've released two new updates, adding significant new features like Windows Information Protection and Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection. The ecosystem has also improved. Every day, more ISVs issue statements of support like SAP, Oracle, and Salesforce. But it isn't just the ISVs. We also hear this from you, the enterprises, how well Windows 10 provides application compatibility. And that's not by accident, that's by design. That's how we began Windows 10, to make sure it was the most compatible version of Windows ever. And we see that borne out in real-world deployments and the 400 million desktops running Windows 10 that we talked about. So now we are moving beyond early adopters and into mainstream deployment. And enterprises are seeing real payback. A total economic study on Windows 10 showed 188% return on investment. It took just 13 months to get to payback on that investment, with savings of up to 15% on desktop management and 33% less time resolving security issues. I'd like to share a customer story with you. We talk about businesses moving at amazing speeds, but what if your office really did move at hundreds of miles an hour? What if you were surrounded by tons of steel moving that fast as well? In NASCAR, seconds make the difference between success and failure. Let's look at how Hendricks Motorsports is using Windows 10, Office 365, and the power of the cloud to gain a competitive advantage. Let's take a look at that video.
The goal of Hendrick Motorsports is simple: to win races and to win championships.
What makes us go is fuel, tires, and technology. Having the ability to maximize our fuel distance, to maximize our tire life, and using the technology and the information available to get both of those things is what produces a winning setup.
Everything that we do around the race car and our race engines has technology threaded through it. It's where we look for an advantage.
Green flag is in the air. We're underway.
Trying to gain an advantage in your car is very, very difficult. Being able to process more information faster, you can make more decisions about your car. That's where technology becomes huge. I don't want every bit of information, I want the results.
I used to think Microsoft is a software company, and what I'm really finding is there's solutions coming. Windows 10 integrates nicely with the cloud, and it's really our gateway to leverage Cortana Analytics and the machine learning suite to process the data in an automated fashion. Windows 10 does a really good job of allowing mobile continuum and for those guys to be able to switch back and forth from multiple computers, multiple machines to get the information they need in a timely fashion.
Since winning is defined by a tenth of a second, data analytics can help determine our pit windows, and it can really improve a lot of our time on the track.
What's really beautiful about the Microsoft Cloud is it allows us to leverage computing power, and as the race starts, we may spin up 1,000 cores, more computing power for the event, and when the event concludes, we turn that off. So with Microsoft's Cloud, we really just pay by the minute, and we don't incur the $200,000 cost to buy hardware.
The nice thing about Office 365 is that we can start to collaborate on a higher level.
It's so loud at the racetrack. We're using Skype for Business to chat to our teammates during practice. I'm talking to all the other race engineers on top of the pit box.
What OneNote does and what SharePoint does is it allows us to do development at a rapid pace. We're able to have the same communication as if everybody was pulling in the same direction. And that's really powerful.
What's exciting about this relationship with Hennig Motorsports and Microsoft is that with Windows 10, Office 365, and the Microsoft Cloud, it's enabling our engineers to do more and achieve more.
That is so cool and exhilarating. I think it really brings home the reliability and the power of these solutions. When I think about Windows 10 for businesses, I think about three main areas: deploy, use, and secure. First, with deployment, this is really about making sure that you are successful. You can take Windows 10 and deliver it to your organization and your users, not only in a way that you can manage, but in a way that is cost-effective. And once your users have it, this is the whole point, that they are delighted, that they get to do more and achieve more. And finally, that it is secure, that your users are protected, your data is secure, and your infrastructure and your organization can trust their environment. And that's what Windows 10 brings to the table. Let's take a deeper look into deployment and manageability. In this room, I have to take a second to acknowledge that we have an incredible wealth of expertise around how to deploy and manage Windows. You've spent a career mastering tools like Group Policy or SCCM. The great news is that all of these tools work great with Windows 10. And in fact, we see that borne out in real deployments that real organizations are doing. Every week, 1.5 million devices are added to management under Config Manager, and we see over 40 million devices under management with the new version. And what we also see is that over 99% of Windows 10 devices are being managed by ConfigMan. And I think that that really speaks to this critical notion that you don't have to wait to figure out a whole new world of technology before you can get started with Windows 10. You can get started today. But we have a vision about how we can help you more taking advantage of the cloud. We're introducing a new series of tools that can make IT more productive, and the cloud is changing not just the data center, but also the client and the device experience. And the great news is it's not an either-or decision. Windows 10 gives you the ability to choose based on your scenarios. You can deploy Windows 10 today with existing tools and leverage the cloud to help you be the hero in new scenarios and bringing them on board and make individual choices about when it's right to go to Intune or to go Azure Active Directory or to update how you manage and deploy Windows. Many of us are familiar with how the cloud can help you in the data center, but now let's dive in and take a look at how the cloud can help you with your devices. The cloud can help you supercharge your Windows 10 deployment. There is lots of value in migrating to Windows 10. But there is still a lot of work to do, and you, the people in this room, need to start that process. But the cloud can help you with that. That's why today, we are releasing and announcing Windows Upgrade Analytics. Windows Upgrade Analytics leverages opt-in feedback from Windows 7 and Windows 8.1 devices in an organization to see exactly what is going on with the apps and the devices that you are responsible for. Using machine learning and our knowledge of known issues that we keep track of, we can not only show you which devices have issues, but we can also suggest remediations that can be performed ahead of time to resolve those issues well in advance of the actual upgrades. And we're pooling that information across a world of devices. So it's been about 10 minutes and I haven't shown you a demo, but I promised you we would dive in. Let's dive in and take a look at Upgrade Analytics in action. I'd like to invite out Rama.
Thank you, Rob. Good morning, everyone. My name is Rama Shastri, and I'm a program manager in the Windows compatibility team. Many of you have given us feedback that Windows upgrade projects are complex, time-consuming, and costly. A lot of that complexity comes from the compatibility testing and remediation associated with these projects. That's where Upgrade Analytics comes in. Upgrade Analytics will simplify and accelerate your deployment planning for Windows 10. Let me show you a quick demo. What I've got here is a dashboard for Upgrade Analytics. This is loaded with test data from across Microsoft. In the interest of time, I'm going to show you three features today. The first one is around applications. A lot of our IT pros struggle with the large number of applications that are deployed across the enterprise. We've provided application install base plus usage information to help you rationalize the long tail of applications. That lets you focus on the most business critical and important apps in your organization. That's what you would use to go focus your app compat testing. Next, you try to go answer the question on which of these applications actually work on Windows 10. I'm happy to announce today that Upgrade Analytics will integrate with Ready for Windows. Ready for Windows provides useful information on how commercial applications are doing in Windows 10. As you see on my screen here, I have a popular app that's used in the enterprise. And if you look here, I have a status for Ready for Windows. If I click on this link, it takes me to the Ready for Windows website, where you can see that many versions of this app are highly adopted, which means they're being successfully used in the Windows 10 ecosystem. Lastly, we understand that enterprises use web apps in addition to Win32. What we've brought here today is a view into the most active websites that are used, as well as the dock modes that they are rendered in. This will help you focus your web app testing in addition to your Win32 apps. So to recap, Windows Upgrade Analytics can provide a data-driven approach to your Windows 10 deployment planning. If you're interested to learn more, please come by and attend our theater session on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Thank you very much. Back to you, Rob.
Thank you very much, Rama. That is great.
Awesome. Thank you.
It is really cool to see opt-in feedback being harnessed to provide you, the IT manager, with more information about your environment. I'm excited about that idea. Now let's talk about the new device experience. I'll admit, I'm pretty geeky. I love getting new hardware, that moment when I see the box in my office and I unwrap it and I unpack it and I get that new device smell, and then I turn it on and I want to see all the cool new features. Let's talk about how the cloud can make that a delightful experience for both the users and IT. Because today, IT images the device first, that can be very expensive, but we have a strategy using the cloud and dynamic provisioning to make that delightful. So I'd like to invite out Janani to show us how that works.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Janani Vasudevan, and I'm a program manager on the Windows commercial team working on enterprise device management. As Rob mentioned, deployment is one of the key focus areas that we are looking at. Deployment is everything from when you get the device to when you can get started working on it. And we envision that going forward, deployment is going to be centered more around the user rather than IT, thereby making it really easy for IT and reducing costs while empowering users to have a more self-service approach. So today, I'm going to be demoing dynamic provisioning with three key highlights. One, the process is delightful for a user like me, and I can perform this independently of IT. Second, it's going to be efficient for IT pros because it helps them keep costs low and also saves time as they do not have to touch every device. And finally, one of the main reasons that IT pros wipe and reimage devices is because you want to upgrade a device that came in with a professional edition to an enterprise edition to leverage the additional management and management capabilities and features that are present in the enterprise edition. Let's see how dynamic provisioning helps with that. So it was hardware refresh time at work, and I put in an order for a Surface Book. In just a matter of few days, I got the Surface Book shipped to me. I was already impressed because it didn't have to go to IT first. So here I have my Surface Book that I just removed out of the box. And let's get it set up right now as my work device. So I go ahead and I'm on the first run experience of this and I choose to make this device as my work device and join Azure Active Directory. At this point of time, all I need to do is enter my corporate Cloud ID credentials. And also and just hit next. So this in the background, this is joining this device to an Azure Active Directory domain of my company. And by virtue of Intune automatic MDM enrollment being configured, the device is also going to be enrolled into Intune. So we saw how this process is extremely easy for a user. So now let's switch over to the experience for an IT pro. In addition to actually having MDM policies configured and AAD user groups and other things configured, all that the IT admin has to do to configure MDM automatic enrollment is go into the Azure Active Directory portal and add an app which is an MDM app. Here you can see that I already have the Microsoft Intune MDM enrollment app added, and all of the URLs are automatically populated. All that the IT pro has to do is configure the app and define what user groups this needs to apply to. This is possible not just with Intune, but also with any other third-party MDMs that you may have in your enterprise. So there you saw the experience of a user, and for an IT pro, extremely simple. So now let's switch back to the device that we just started on. Okay. The first thing that I notice here is that my profile pic has already roamed from my old laptop into my new Surface Book. This is possible because of enterprise state roaming that roams your settings and favorites along with your user identity. I also see that my wallpaper is here, and my favorites would also have been roamed. I take a closer look at my start menu, and what I see here is that the start layout is not the default start layout. It's actually what I had on my old laptop. So my organization has pushed down a customized start layout with all of the apps that I use or the convenience apps that I have pinned to the start layout. So the start layout customization is an enterprise edition management capability. But the device that I got shipped in with a professional edition. So what happened? What I see is as part of the dynamic provisioning process, my IT pro could upgrade my device from a professional edition into an enterprise edition so they can leverage all of these additional capabilities. I also see that I have Windows Store for Business configured with the LOB apps that I can go ahead and download and start working. So here you go. I have my new Surface Book all set up for me to get started on work. To quickly recap, we saw dynamic provisioning with three highlights. The process is extremely delightful for the user and easy for them to deploy. Second, it makes the process efficient from an IT pro perspective by keeping time and by saving time and costs so they don't have to touch every device. And thirdly, an IT pro could upgrade a device that came out of the professional edition into an enterprise edition in a matter of minutes. Thank you. Over to Rob.
Thank you very much, Janani. That was awesome. Imagine going and buying a Surface Book at the store. You log in, it gets your profile pic, and the IT guy is so happy because he knows that Windows Information Protection and Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection were turned on and the device is secure. Keeping Windows current is critical, super important. With the speed of businesses delivering new features to users, tools like WSUS and Windows Update for Business can help you do that easily. But it's not just about the new features. Keeping current is critical for security as well. And it's not just about the patches, it's about new capabilities that we build. So one of the problems with a long release and deployment cycle is that attackers are able to build new and more sophisticated attacks in those gaps between releases. We need to stop these in their tracks with new capabilities like Credential Guard and Application Guard. And what this graph is showing you, with the update to, with the ability to update Windows faster, we help close those gaps and get you new security technology faster and keep your company safer. And that's why we're here, just a little bit over a year since we launched Windows 10, already talking about new capabilities that are coming your way in flight and upcoming releases. Let's take a look at how we do this. While we shorten the time frame between releases from the historic 3 to 5 years, we have to work to make sure it shows up at a pace that is consumable by your organization. Every individual release cycle starts with a feedback period. Here you have time to evaluate the product for 4 to 8 months before release. Let us know what you think, what works, and what doesn't. And again, I'm very gratified to see that the people in this room are taking advantage of that. This is your chance to impact and influence the product, to connect through the Windows Insider program and the Windows Tap program, as well as do some early preliminary evaluation. After the release, there's a 4-month window for piloting time, for you to run broader pilots in your organization, test it on a wider scale than you might have done during the feedback phase. And it's during this phase that you should be reviewing the performance of any mission-critical applications that you have. After about 4 months, we will declare the release ready for business. And you should move into broad deployment and the production phase. This is when you should start looking to move beyond your pilot users and scaling out across your organization in a phased rollout. Every release will be supported for a minimum of 12 months after it is declared ready for business. And we will support 2 production releases simultaneously. So the end of a production phase is really based on that N+2 timeline. Let's take a look at what that means over time. So you can see how this works out looking at the first 3 releases of Windows 10. You have the time you need to pilot and deploy Windows 10 in your organization. You can also see here that for 2017, we have 2 upcoming releases, a first update followed by a second update later in the year. I think that's a great cadence for organizations to be thinking about, and we look forward to your feedback for how that will work in your business or company. Finally, our tools, like SCCM, are really designed to help you manage that process. And this is a screenshot of what Config Manager looks like. It gives you a dashboard where you can see all of your active branches in one place. One dashboard for managing all of Windows 10. You can create servicing plans, you can build custom deployment rings, you can easily monitor your deployment, and this gives you single command and control of a phased rollout in your organization. I'd like to bring up a great customer and a great friend, Joseph Parody from Avanade, to talk about their experience running Windows 10.
Thank you, Rob. So for those of you who don't know what Avanade is, we're a global technology and management consulting company. We operate in 24 countries around the world, and my team is responsible for about 10,000 workstations. We partner very closely with Microsoft, and when Microsoft started talking about Windows 10 and Windows as a service, we thought that this would be a great opportunity for us, for our users as well, to really embrace Windows as a service, because it would give us the ability to adopt the features, both end user and security features, that we were looking for. We also really liked that the integration was there with things like Office 365, which we're a heavy user of. Now, like most of you, we didn't start with the latest versions necessarily of every tool that was out there. So we started our Windows 10 rollout with SCCM 2012 R2. We had all of our group policies for security, for things like BitLocker or others, and they were all there in our environment, running our Windows 8.1 desktops. And we didn't have to do any sort of a massive upgrade to get going. We started with that existing infrastructure. The other thing that we really took advantage of, and many of you probably are in the same boat we were, was we thought, hey, this in-place upgrade thing that Microsoft tells us is really awesome, I'm kind of nervous, because we tried this before. Didn't work out so well, right? I'm here to tell you, after thousands of machines being in-place upgraded, Windows 10 works for in-place upgrade. It can dramatically reduce the time it takes and the effort it takes for you to deploy Windows 10 within your enterprise. We also do Windows 10 on new machines, so it's not an either or. You get both the ability to do new machines and upgrade. I'm pleased to say that as of this morning, we're 62% globally on Windows 10. And we started early on with the initial release, but what we wanted to do as Windows as a service is we wanted to say, how do we get faster? How do we really adopt that notion of being a service? So in the 15.11 release, or the November update last year, we worked on how can we get this out to our users quickly. And we were able to get 15.11 available to all of our users in 90 days. But we set the bar higher for 16.07. We improved upon the processes and tools that we had built. And I'm pleased to say that as of today, 45 days later than the release of 16.07, 16.07 is available to every single user at Avanade. We're not forcing the upgrade, right? But we're making it available to them. That's dramatically different, and we didn't add a ton of people to our team, same team that we've always used. One of the reasons that we've been able to do that fast of a deployment is the quality of Windows 10. Windows 10 has had the least number of user-impacting issues of any release of Windows that we've ever used. And that's both on the application side, which is what most of you would think about, but also on the infrastructure side, which many of you have to worry about, right? Things like patching, group policy, right? We were able to use what we had, add what we needed, but we didn't have to do any wholesale swap outs to adopt Windows 10. I want to talk about one feature that is an interesting feature because it does something that very few features do. It makes users happy, and it makes my security team happy at the same time. And that's automatic device registration. So this is turned on in Windows 16.07, and it allows us to get, for the end user, single sign-on to web apps with Office 365, as well as to Outlook. That's a big deal if you're an Office 365 customer, because you want your users to get that single sign-on experience that they've enjoyed in the past. But it also gives us the ability to use conditional access. Conditional access allows us, using Azure Active Directory, to configure an application to only allow our domain-joined machines, those that are registered, to access that application. So if you have a sensitive application that you don't want to be accessed from a kiosk, from your grandmother's machine at Thanksgiving, conditional access can give that to you. So you should continue to learn about the new features, continue to use and try Windows 10, but know that you're not forced to use everything. You'll hear this week, about a ton of new features in Windows 10. You don't have to adopt all of them, and we haven't adopted all of them yet. We're working through them, we're making sure that they work in our environment, that we can support them, and then we introduce them. And that's the nice thing about Windows 10. So I urge you to start thinking about how you can adopt Windows as a service within your company, and then that will empower your company and your users on Windows 10. Thank you.
Thank you, Joseph. I want to underscore one thing I heard in there, which I think is really cool. This idea of putting the new upgrade out, making it available, and letting users self-service to pull it down and to elect when they're ready to try out something new and cool. Because at the end of the day, it really is all about those users and making them successful. Windows 10 brings a host of productivity features to your employees, but instead of trying to describe all of them at length, we're going to run a real quick video and take a look. Roll it. Okay, everybody catch all that? It's great. The great thing about Windows 10 is this notion of choice without compromise. And one of my favorite features in the anniversary update is around ink. I'm lucky enough to be a Surface Book user, and I've got to tell you, I love that thing. I carry it with me everywhere I go. I use it in meetings. I use it docked at my desk. I take notes in ink during meetings because I find that's a polite way to interact. And then I bring it home, and I sit on my couch, use it as a laptop, or when I'm reviewing documents, which happens a lot, pull out the pen, detach the screen, and really enjoy that experience of working with ink inside of Office. It is magical for me. I use it every day. These great experiences are delivered based on the power of hardware, working with the software on the devices, and the power of the cloud. With Microsoft devices, we have a history of pushing the envelope, of setting a new standard for how devices can be used to transform businesses. First with Surface, bringing unmatched performance and versatility with a new form factor. We created the 2-in-1 detachable category, giving the ability to run high-performance desktop apps with pen and touch, all in a thin, lightweight package that has not only made Surface a natural choice for many businesses, but has inspired transformation. More recently, we've seen the potential for transformation in a new category of device, like this one. The Surface Hub is a large screen experience that fundamentally changes the way that groups of people work together by making meetings more productive, more engaging, creating new ways to create and brainstorm and bringing intelligence and data into the heart of teams and collaboration to help people make more informed decisions. With HoloLens, we've pushed the boundaries of what we previously thought possible in mixed reality, and it has captured people's imagination and has really been amazing to see. And finally, with the Internet of Things, we bring the power of Windows to the smallest of devices to change how your business operates, and we do that with the uniform manageability and security promises of Windows. China Light and Power is realizing great benefit from combining the power of Windows 10, new device types, and the cloud. Let's take a look at their story. Show the video.
CLP prides itself on being one of the most reliable and affordable electricity providers in the world. Within Hong Kong alone, we have around 4,000 talented staff who are all working with our customer in mind. In an industry that is globally facing an aging workforce, we aim to provide a modern working environment to attract and to retain the right talent.
Windows 10 combined with Microsoft cloud-based services not only helps us transition to a digital way of working in a secure and reliable way, they also contribute to a cost-effective IT environment. Our end-user computing strategy is our customers can access CLP IT services from any device, anywhere, anytime. To achieve this, Windows 10 has been a game changer. As we replace old computers with new devices running Windows 10, we see savings in IT labor, as well as cost savings inherent in managing the simpler Windows 10 environment.
We have an ever-increasing wealth of data. Our challenge is how to convert this data into useful information. CLP partnered with Microsoft to create a cloud-based business analytics solution and smart conference room solution that's going to give executives up-to-date insights they need to steer the company on this new course. To safeguard against storm surges, super typhoons, or other extreme weather, we use a combination of predictions on flood water levels and interactive maps visualized on Microsoft Power BI to help manage risks to our power supply infrastructure. This used to be a time-consuming manual endeavor, taking hours. Now this information is available in minutes. Layered over this is a Power BI speech app, a Windows 10 universal app developed by CLP and Microsoft Services, using speech-to-text capabilities of Cortana.
Consumption by location. IT security is very important to CLP. We use BitLocker, and it could not be simpler because it encrypts the device on the fly.
With these new capabilities supported by Microsoft technologies, both on premises and in the cloud, our business productivity and efficiency will be improved, and it helps CLP to make better, faster, and more cost-effective business decisions.
With Microsoft solutions, we are building a workplace to take us into the future.
That is cool. There is so much going on there, and what a high-tech, high-demand environment. It really is all about those users and making sure they can do amazing things with cloud-powered and in a mobile fashion, just like you saw. But now it's time to talk about security. As one of the people on the front lines of security, this is a topic that I think a lot about, as I'm sure many of you in this room do as well. The security landscape has changed. It has been an evolution from kiddie scripters messing around to organized crime in it for the money to nation-state hackers who are well-funded, well-trained, highly intelligent, and motivated. This generates more threats and a constantly evolving threat landscape. Microsoft has established a security posture in response to this, and you heard Yusuf talk about it this morning. Our vision is focused around protect, detect, and respond, and you will see all of those come true in the demos and conversation we have now. First, around really ensuring we do everything we can to harden the platform, to make it more and more difficult for bad guys to do the things that they're trying to do. And yet we have to acknowledge the reality of the world we live in and think deeply about how we detect, how we share that detection with you, and how we respond. So let's talk about protect, detect, and respond across the three core security areas of Windows around devices, information, and identity. Windows 7 delivered great security advances, support for TPM, data protection features like BitLocker, and we also introduced the first version of our smart screen service, so we were very proud of that. But you clearly need more today. Now, with Windows 10, we are giving you more tools and features to protect your business. And in fact, this first set of capabilities actually works on existing hardware and machines. Things like Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection, Windows Trusted Boot, makes your environment more secure with the hardware that you've got. But when you're running Windows 10 on modern hardware, you get some of the most powerful security features imaginable. Things like Credential Guard, Device Guard, and the family of virtualization-based security. When I look at some of the list, and it's a long list, some of the things that I'm most proud of are around the investments that we have made in hardware-based isolation. We think it really changes the game for security. Let me describe how this works to you, and I'll start by talking about how Windows 7 worked. One of the best ways to understand the power of hardware-based isolation is to understand the challenge we face today. The image you see here represents how things have traditionally been done in client operating systems. It makes sense. You have an OS running on top of the hardware, and you have apps running on top of the OS. The problem that we face with this stack is that a vulnerability in any place opens the whole stack up. An attacker can gain control of one of the components, any of the components that they're running on top of. For instance, a vulnerability in the browser, I may be able to take control of the OS and thus everything else on the device. How do we think about this? Well, here's one metaphor. Think about it if you were designing a fort. Windows 7 was basically a fort with one defensive wall. It turns out the people who built forts in the day, and this was actually Carcassonne, France, had some better ideas. First idea is, let's build a second wall, and that will help secure the whole environment, making it more robust against penetration. But still, not everything in that environment is equal. There are critical resources, such as the keep and the armory. And so they built additional walls to help isolate those areas. And that's a great metaphor for what we've done with hardware-based isolation. This is how we think about the picture today. It's built on top of the device hardware and takes advantage of the hypervisor. And that really accomplishes two key things. One, we provide better guarantees that things in the operating system can't get to things in that critical system container. And the second, it's burned down into the silicon. We're taking advantage of security primitives established at the base of how the computer is running, making it much harder for attackers to get around. And so you see we are able to create this boundary and isolate critical system processes. And in that space, we've put things like credential guard and device guard. With device guard, we're able to provide a critical list of trusted applications and put the signatures for those apps inside of this system container. This lets us lock the machine down to only run trusted code. You saw credential guard in the keynote and how it can protect the credentials of users from a wide variety of modern attacks so he can't gain elevated privileges and additional identities. And then today, we've announced the new member of the family, Windows Defender Application Guard. It's built on the same underlying technology, and the idea here is quite simple. Run the entire browser session in a tiny micro VM, let the user browse to all sorts of nefarious places, if that's what they choose to do, and when they're done, they close the browser session, and all of that is crumpled up and tossed away. And never gets to the kernel, never gets to the hard drive, and does not then open your machine up to further attack. I'd like to show you some demonstrations of how virtualization-based security works, so I'll invite Hart Karan up on stage to show you what that looks like.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Karan Beer Singh, and I'm a program manager on the Windows Operating System Security and Identity team. Today, I want to talk to you about two specific virtualization-based security solutions that Rob just talked about. I'm going to talk about Credential Guard that keeps your credentials protected against pass-the-hash attacks. We look at how easy it is to deploy it in your organization. And then we look at Device Guard and how that comes together to protect your devices and how easy it is to deploy that. So earlier in the keynote today, Anne talked about Credential Guard and how it protects you against these really sophisticated pass-the-hash attacks. These are attacks that sift through memory dumps looking for credentials or derivatives in the form of hashes, and then replay these in the hopes to get control of your entire networks. Such spear phishing attacks are the most common breaches of enterprise security today. And Credential Guard protects you against that. Now, you might be wondering, well, what does it take to deploy Credential Guard in my organization? Well, if you're running Windows 10 on modern hardware, it's as simple as setting and enabling one setting. Let's take a look at it. So here I have a Windows 10 PC that does not have Credential Guard enabled, and therefore is susceptible to pass-the-hash attacks. Let's take a look at what it takes to enable Credential Guard. All I have to do is I popped open my GP editor, something you're very familiar with. Under Computer Configuration, System, Device Guard, on the right, you see this setting called Turn On Virtualization-Based Security. All I have to do is click on Enable, apply that policy, and I'm good to go. There you go. Credential Guard is now in action, protecting your credentials against really sophisticated pass-the-hash attacks. Of course, you can set this policy using your existing management solution as well. Great.
What we've also done is extended Credential Guard, and in the anniversary update, added support for remote Credential Guard. What that does is it protects your credentials against attacks on remote servers. So that's pretty cool. Now let's switch gears and talk about how does Windows 10, using virtualization-based technologies, protect the very device that your users use. I'm going to switch over and show that in action. What we'll be talking about is how Device Guard comes together and helps you do that. Now, Device Guard enables IT administrators to have full control over which applications run and cannot run on a device that's managed by them. Let's take a look. Here I have a Windows 7 PC. Now, you've seen a very similar attack vector earlier in the keynote. I'm going to use the same or similar attack key vector to show you a different security measure. So this is Windows 7. Imagine I'm an information worker who receives an email from the IT department, which actually says, hey, go ahead and download this new expense app that I've just published. Well, like any information worker, I'm going to go ahead, open that file up, double click on it to run. And as you just noticed, on the right side, this particular device's defenses are now down. And this happens usually in the background, where the information worker who went through a use case doesn't even know that that happened. With these devices like my, with these security measures like my firewall and the antivirus being down, obviously this device is now in an insecure state. Let's take a look at how the same attack vector behaves on a Windows 10 machine. I'm going to switch to another VM where I have Windows 10. So this is a Windows 10 PC that actually does have Device Guard enabled. I'm going to go through the same exact use case, received an email. I'm going to double click on the attachment that came with it, double click to execute this file. There you go. Your organization used Device Guard to block this app. What just happened was, as soon as I double-clicked and tried to execute an application that was not blessed by my IT admin, the computer in the form of Device Guard just blocked from letting that thing execute. Therefore, all the things that it could have done to my firewall or to my antivirus wasn't a possibility. So this is how Device Guard comes and protects you and information workers from being able to run things that they really should not. Now, you might be wondering, great, but it's really hard and challenging to come up with these whitelists of applications and especially to maintain them over time, right? Wouldn't it be great if you could just tell Windows to allow those applications to run that have been published through my management solution? Well, with the upcoming release of Windows 10 combined with SCCM 1606, you can do just that. Let's take a look. Going to switch over to another VM. So here I have a PC that has Device Guard enabled on it, but I want to show you how Windows using SCCM can help you curate the list of the list of apps that you want to allow to be able to run on devices. So what I've gone ahead and done is I've got this program on a USB stick that my friend gave me. It's called 7-Zip. It's a really awesome program that he wanted me to use. I copied it over to my desktop, and I will go ahead and try execute this guy so that I can install it. As soon as I tried doing that, well, not surprisingly, Device Guard came to my rescue and said, well, your system administrator has not blessed this app to run. Thankfully, this device is also being managed using SCCM. And the same application that I was trying to install just happens to be one that has been published by my IT admin. I'm going to go ahead this time through Software Center and reinstall this application and see, well, what does it do? I do want to highlight a very key point. Right now, it's the same application, the same XE with the same version number, same signatures that I'm trying to reinstall. Let's see what says it's installed. I'm going to try and look for it. There it is. And I tried to run it. There you go. It runs. So when I copied that for the same exact executable from my USB, it wasn't able to run. But when I got the same exact program through SCCM, it was. So that's pretty cool. So this is just some of the ways in which virtualization-based security is being used in Windows 10 to keep your credentials secure from really sophisticated past-the-hash attacks. And you saw how easy it is to deploy it. and then how Device Guard comes to your rescue and enables you to control exactly which applications can run in your organization, and then also makes it easy to deploy these applications. Back to you, Rob.
Very much, Karan. We'll see you again in a moment. That's exactly what we mean by a hardened and secure platform through Credential Guard, Device Guard, and now with Application Guard, which we look forward to sharing with you in upcoming insider flights. But keeping the device safe is only part of the solution. We also need to think about the user identities and the data that live on that device. Identities in and of themselves are a very challenging problem. Let me ask you a simple question. Show of hands, if I were to offer $1,000 cash right here, right now, who in this room would sell me your password? Okay, there's a couple takers, that's good, and from there I can get into the rest of your organization. We didn't get too many hands, we got a couple, but when this study was run in the wild, the answers were 20% of people would sell their passwords for less than $1,000. That's 1 in 5. Look around and think how many identities I could have. And for a nation state or a criminal organization, that's a pretty low cost of entry to break into an organization. Okay, but most employees are honest, and they're trying to do the right thing. But even then, there are challenges. Have you ever shared your password with a coworker? Quick poll. Oh, I love these IT professionals. Statistically, 66% of the population has done this. And we can't really blame them. They're trying to get work done. They have a job, they need to share some information, something's not right, I just need to get it to you really fast. Here, just log in on my machine. They're trying to accomplish their bigger mission. But the problems go on from there. Predictable passwords, reused passwords, passwords stuck on sticky notes on top of monitors. In short, we really needed a fix to this dilemma and give users a better way to experience logging on to their machine. Windows Hello, I mentioned I have a Surface Book. I love Windows Hello, and it's not just because of all the plumbing that makes it more secure. As a security guy, I'm pretty excited about that, probably more than average. But as an end user, when I'm on a plane and I open up that Surface Book and it sees my face and logs me in, it's like science fiction. And the people next to me are always delighted and impressed. I can log in the elevator just to check where my next meeting is. With Windows 10, we introduced Windows Hello with face, iris, fingerprint, and PIN to help with this problem. In many ways, this is my favorite security feature because users love it. We are now extending it to more two-factor devices using the companion device framework, items users would have with them, like their phone, wearables, USB devices, and cards. In addition, we are protecting against data loss using Windows Information Protection to secure corporate data. Protection against data loss is critical, but it's not just about keeping the bad guys out. Most data in companies is actually leaked accidentally. Windows Information Protection helps solve this problem by separating personal and work data living on the same device. It encrypts the work data so that as it moves around, it is protected and can be rendered inaccessible if the employee leaves the organization. Karan, if you could come back on up and give us a quick look at this.
Rob just talked to you about how in addition to protecting your credentials and your devices, it's equally important to also keep your data protected and keep your identity protected. In the modern day, it's actually even more challenging, especially in a day where, you know, personal and enterprise data coexists on devices, these devices that may or may not, in fact, even be owned by the enterprise. How do we think about protecting data in a world like today? Well, this is where Windows Information Protection comes in. Windows Information Protection is a way for IT administrators to just make sure that their information workers are able to go through their work days like they normally do in a way where they don't inadvertently leak data. So let's take a look at how Windows Information Protection comes together and keeps data leakage from happening. I'm going to transition over to a Windows 10 device. So here I have a device, and imagine I am an information worker at a company. What I have here is a Windows 10 device that has Windows Information Protection enabled on it. And I'm just, you know, I use this PC like I normally do, where what you see on my screen right now is I have Microsoft Edge up, I have my company's SharePoint. You can tell that this is actually an enterprise endpoint by looking at this icon at the top right, that the briefcase icon that says this website is actually managed by my enterprise. Well, I see a few documents. What I'm going to do is go ahead and just download one of these documents, save this into my documents folder. So this is the Contoso Electronics sales proposal. All right, let's open that folder. Now here I have a lot of documents, as you can tell. Some of these documents are work-related, some of these are personal. And you can tell by looking at the file ownership tab which one's which. One of the other things I want to highlight is if you notice this document that I just downloaded, the Contoso Electronics sales proposal, is automatically tagged as being enterprise-owned because it came from an enterprise endpoint, which was my SharePoint. I'm gonna double-click on this file and open it in Word. And this is just now, imagine I'm just working through, doing what I do best. I go through this sales proposal, and well, let's read the earnings summary. Well, it says that this year we've actually seen 200% increase in our overall projected sales. Now that's awesome. I've been working really hard on getting these numbers up, and now we see them. Now, as a good corporate citizen who's really proud of my company, what I want to do is share this information as soon as possible with my friends, with my coworkers. I know PR will get their act together, and eventually there'll be a nice big press release, but I don't want to wait for that. I just found out that there are these excellent numbers, and I want to share them, right? So what I'm going to go ahead and do is just copy some of the data I want to share. So I'm go ahead, select it, right-click, and copy it. And now, well, I want to do what I do best, which is tweet it out. So here I have my Twitter application all ready to go. I'm going to go say I want to send out a new tweet. I'll right-click and paste this. Whoa. As soon as I click paste, I get this dialogue saying that, hey, you're just taking some information that you got from a work document and pasting that into a non-work application, and that's not okay. Now this dialogue, as you can see, gives me the option to either click on it and say change to personal, which will allow me for me to go through, or I can click cancel. I happen to be one of those people who likes to stay enrolled in what I refer to as the salary continuation program. So I'm gonna click cancel. But this is something that's really configurable. If you want in your IT, in your departments, that you do not even want to give users the ability to choose, well, you can set that by policy. You saw the policy on this device, which is to give user the end user the choice. On the flip side, on the extreme, you can also choose to not show this dialogue at all and just secretly log it to make sure that you understand how this is being used. So this is how Windows Information Protection protects users from inadvertent data leakage and keeps honest users honest. Lets them focus on what they do best, which is getting things done. Now, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about identity. Rob talked about how Windows Hello is one of the hallmarks of Windows security, how it replaces passwords with more secure credentials and at the same time makes usability a breeze. Earlier this year at Build, we also announced Windows Hello Companion Device Framework and showed you how you can use your companion devices to unlock Windows devices. Over the last couple of months, we've been hard at work with our hardware partners across the board, including HP, Lenovo, HID, and many, many, many others. Today, I want to show you one such device and its use case. This is in collaboration with our partners at Yubico. Yubico is a hardware manufacturer that makes authentication devices, such as the YubiKey. A YubiKey is a USB-based device that is capable of performing cryptographic and authentication protocols. Let's take a look at what is possible when we combine the power of Windows Hello Companion Device Framework and a device like YubiKey. I'm going to switch over to our demo device. All right. Right off the bat, you can see, so this is a Windows 10 device that has the YubiKey Windows Hello Companion Device Framework app already installed. I want you to focus at the top of the screen, which says, tap your YubiKey to sign in. So what I'm going to do is take this USB-based device, plug it into the USB port, and now this is going to be quick. All I'm going to do is tap this key, and this will result in locking the Windows PC. So let's go. 3, 2, 1, tap. There you go. This is how I unlocked my Windows PC. That's how fast it was. So these are just some of the ways in which Windows 10 comes together to protect users from data leakage, inadvertent data loss, as well as makes identity more secure and way more fun and convenient to use. Thank you. That's all I had. Back to you, Rob.
Thank you very much, Karan. And great job getting through the demos with the additional level of difficulty. We have introduced a large amount of security technology in Windows 10, but is perfection possible? We know that perfect protection is not possible, even though we will keep working at it. While it's important to keep building stronger defenses, the bad guys will keep getting very advanced, more advanced, and users are often the weakest link. Why? Let's take a look at an actual breach study from Verizon. If I send 100 mails to people in your organizations today, study shows that 30 of them will click and open that mail. And 12 of them will open the attachment within that mail. And even worse, they will do it within 3 minutes and 45 seconds. Now, the bad news is this study gets run year after year, and users are actually getting worse. Last year, only 23 users would open the mail, and only 6 would open the attachment. So what's getting on? Are users getting dumber? No, the bad guys are getting smarter. You cannot train your users out of this problem. Let's actually take a look at what a sophisticated sample email looks like. This is not a random email. This is a slightly tweaked rendition of a real attacker email. We've changed the names to protect the innocent and the URL so you don't type it in and infect your own devices. But this is basically what it looked like. And what happened was the attackers studied their target on LinkedIn, found out what they were working on and what materials would matter most to them, and sent them a crafted mail with a URL that was different from a normal URL only by moving the dot. There's no way you can prevent a user from clicking on this kind of link. Once they get in, as you heard, it takes 200 days for most organizations to even detect that breach. That's 200 days of stealing your data and attacking other parts of your network, and then getting them out is even harder because they are going to dig deep and establish back doors. We must assume breach, but the question is, how do we bring down the time to detection? Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection is our answer to this. It is about having real data and sense coming from the endpoint, aggregated inside of our cloud to provide machine learning and great analytics based on world-class threat intelligence research that we do. However, we continue to make ATP better. We announced it in February, we launched it in August, and today you heard about the next set of capabilities coming to ATP by integrating with Office ATP and advanced threat analytics to combine the power of Windows Office 365 and Azure for cloud-to-client protection. And we also believe in a strong community of good guys working passionately against the bad guys. We are partnering with others to give you comprehensive security intelligence from Microsoft and from industry partners such as FireEye, iSight, Threat Intelligence, which you'll now be able to receive integrated into the Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection console. I'd like to bring out Michael to actually show you what Windows Defender ATP looks like in action.
Thanks, Michael. Rob. I'm Michael Shalev. I'm a program manager with Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection. Let's do a deep dive into the attack that was shown earlier at the keynote. To remind you, Liz Bean got an email she thought was from her boss and clicked on the attachment. business as usual. Bad news is it wasn't from her boss. Going to the Advanced Threat Protection dashboard, we see that there's a red alert and that behaviors that are associated with an actor or an attacker we codename NeuroBlaze were observed on Liz's machine. Now, reading up on who NeuroBlaze is a click away. Now, in our investigation, we want to answer three questions. How did it get here? What did it do? And where did it go? The incident graph shows us the evidence that is related to the attack and where it's observed on other machines. Now, we see that SysDebugger seems to have spread across other machines at Contoso, so let's take a closer look at the file. Now, our global optics allow us to determine that this file is rare, and it was only seen on 5 machines worldwide. It gets worse because those 5 machines are all Contosos. So now I'm worried. Clicking on Deep Analysis shows us what the file does when we execute it in a secure cloud sandbox. So we can see that the file has encrypted communications. We see that it makes sure that it survives reboots. If we go a bit deeper, we see that it also injects itself into the memory of system processes. This is typical of backdoors. At this point, we have a better idea of where the file went. So now let's go and investigate what it did on the machine. Our advanced behavioral analytics actually tell the story of the attack unfolding stage by stage. It begins with Word dropping and running an executable. Then we see PowerShell is used with a suspicious command line. Now a reverse shell is used, allowing the attacker to remotely issue commands on the machine. And finally, we see indications of network reconnaissance. So let's go back to the beginning and see exactly what happened on the machine. Going back in time, we're able to see the alert and the evidence of Word dropping and running a file. And if we look a bit earlier, we're able to see actually how it got here. Whoops. Sorry. What we see here through our integration with Office 365 is actually the attachment as well as all of the details of the email. And through this, our integration, we can actually pivot over and go directly to Office ATP to continue our investigation there. What we're seeing here is that if this attachment has been flagged based on our behavioral detection. And looking at the email list, we're able to see that even though it was delivered to Liz Bean, it was actually sent to 2 other employees. But based on the detection, Office managed to block it before it was delivered. But now we know that NeuroBlaze has targeted 2 other people. So let's take a look and see if there's any indication that anything happened on their machines. One click and we're on Roger's machine. And what we're able to see here is that Liz Bean's identity has been used to log on to his machine. Through our integration with Advanced Threat Analytics, we can now check about if this identity has been compromised. And what they're able to tell us is that not only are there indications of identity compromise by logging on to other machines, but actually Liz's identity was used to do remote execution on a domain controller from Summerfrost's machine. What we are able to do by integrating Windows Defender ATP with Office ATP and Advanced Threat Analytics is actually detect, investigate, and understand how to respond to advanced attacks very quickly and very comprehensively. There's a breakout session on Thursday morning on Windows Defender ATP where we're going to go even deeper and show you all of the details of how you can investigate and pivot across files, IPs, and services in Microsoft products. Thank you very much. Back to you, Rob.
Thank you very much, Michael. That is powerful. We have thousands of customers using ATP already to keep their network safe. These customers are in all verticals, from banking and government to NASCAR racing, some people we actually saw earlier today. And even though we just launched, we already see great anecdotes of how Windows Defender ATP is catching the bad guys, and something that's also fun, catching the red teams. So many organizations run these experiments where they hire people to infiltrate and get in, and it is a great experience for the IT org and the blue team to actually catch those guys and have a leg up. There's so many new security features in Windows 10, I could only talk about a few. I encourage you to visit some of the security sessions to learn about others and to visit the booth. Many customers are bringing truth to the statement that the time is now. I'd like to share one last customer story with you about the Australian Department of Human Services. This government organization has deployed over 40,000 seats of Windows 10 already, and they are upgrading 2,000 to 3,000 new machines every night. Let's see their story.
Our vision was to provide excellence in service for all Australians, essentially providing service anytime, anywhere, when the user needs assistance.
Australia's a big country. The tyranny of distance has made things very difficult in the past. What we're able to achieve here is to bring everyone closer together, to be able to communicate quickly. I think the decision was made pretty early to roll out Windows 10 across the organisation.
We believe that our rollout of devices across our national network is certainly the largest in the Southern Hemisphere, is one of the first in federal government.
We then thought that this would be a perfect avenue for us with ORTC. Using minimal bandwidth, we've got the flexibility to be mobile. Being a government department, we had to meet strict guidelines on privacy, but we ticked all those boxes, and with Windows 10, we're able to implement it quite easily.
What the technology will do for us is allow us to connect these most vulnerable citizens to the right officer with the right skills when they need it, rather than we are able to come to them. I'm excited about the innovation we've seen, and I believe our partnership with Microsoft will take us to a new level of servicing never seen before.
So what do you do from here to take advantage of everything we have talked about and to join the many customers we have seen today already taking advantage of Windows 10? Visit the booth, gather more information, and use this week to connect with experts, both from the Microsoft engineering teams as well as from the community that is here. Use this knowledge to go and be the hero for your organization. The time is now. Thank you very much.